We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
I'm also excited about our draft because of just the quality work that we've been able to get done in free agency. You know, it's two means by which we develop our football team for 2024 that goes with existing talent. It's free agency and the draft, and we've been very active in free agency, and, you know, that makes you really comfortable as we lean in on draft weekend.
50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peter, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're going to get to this quarterback trade in the AFC in a few minutes. But it was the day, the annual press conference before the draft between Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, and Jeff Hathorn and others over at the headquarters. And Tomlin's point there about how, you know, free agency has quelled some of his concerns going into the draft. I don't think that free agency has done that for fans per se, but I know what it's done. It's really taken a lot of the shine and a lot of the attention away from the draft. You know, for years, the draft was the marquee and signature event of the offseason for the Steelers. It would be really from the day the season ended, we'd be counting down the days of the draft, thinking about what the Steelers needed to do, who they would take, all those prospects, and we still do that. But they now do a lot more in this new era under Omar Khan in free agency and with trades. So this almost feels like the dessert portion of the offseason. The main course or entree dish was back in March when they got Russell Wilson and made the Justin Fields move and signed Patrick Queen away from the Ravens. Whoever they get on Thursday night is going to pale in comparison to what they did in free agency in the offseason.
Well, the draft's always like special, though, I think. And so that first-round pick, regardless of who it is going to be extremely highly scrutinized, celebrated, whatever, you know, unless people hate the pick, which I guess is possible, but I feel like even the days of hating a pick are almost long gone now because you can make a case for anybody. But they used to have the draft being the centerpiece of the offseason pony. They used to take that as just this big point of organizational pride. We don't win the offseason. We don't do what every other team does. We don't go and try to shop from the top end of the rack. They did that with Queen. They paid premium price. They didn't go to the discount, the $2 DVD bin there. They did fill their quarterback room with guys who don't cost much, but in terms of pedigree, one's a two-time Super Bowl appearance and one-time winner, and the other guy was a top 15 pick. And so in terms of profile and in some cases money, they have just completely shattered the mold. I think what their free agency really did was crystallize what a lot, and this isn't necessarily a good thing, I saw an article by Ross Tucker on his, I think he's with that 33rd team now, about the position you never want to be in as a team heading into the draft, and that's with everybody knowing exactly what you really, really need, like specifically in the first round. And he named three teams, Broncos, Vikings, Cowboys. Everybody knows what those three teams need. Two of them need quarterbacks. I don't care what's
exactly. Dallas needs offensive line.
Dallas needs offensive line and running back to a degree, although that's maybe a little less important. I do think that the Steelers have sort of crystallized what they need, but to hear them tell it, their needs aren't as acute as the outside, to what you said, perceives them to be. Like, now, whether that the million-dollar thing I took away from Khan and Tomlin today is whether or not they are, on some level, genuinely believing the things they say about the offensive line, about center, or where they're just if they're just trying to throw out you know what, and hope some of it sticks as far as, like, guys falling their way. You know what I mean? Like, you can talk about we have internal options. Do you really have internal options for center? Do you really have this? Do you really have that? Like, that's what I learned, at least.
Well, I think they also have a high degree or level of confidence in themselves working together because of what they got out of last year's draft. So they found three starters with their first three picks. Jones, Porter Jr., was a defensive player, defensive rookie of the year finalist, and Benton, who by the end of the year might have looked better than the other two. So they have holes, but they probably feel like we filled them last year. You know, we don't have old conservative stodgy Kevin around here anymore.
Poor
Kevin. You know?
Kevin is just taking... I hate this because Kevin's always been terrific to me personally, but it's clear
And he was really good at his job for a long time.
For a long time, but there's no arguing that some of his final drafts really lacked, and that's being kind, and that Omar, it appears, hit it out of the park in year one. That the new brain trust replacing Colbert, like I'll call it, now it's Khan, Weidel, Tomlin, not only did they kind of put to bed the fear that they can't work together, because remember it was being propagated, Tomlin was going to run roughshod over the other two. He was going to get his way. It sounds like they all work really nicely together, and it sounds like they have a nice cohesive plan, that there's like healthy challenging to the paradigm here.
The one thing that I still don't get is they made proactive moves to get rid of guys that I applauded, mm-hmm. which was very un-Steelers-like. We don't even know who your replacement is, but we just don't want you on the team anymore. Chukwuma Okorafor. We don't have another tackle. You're just expensive, and we benched you last year, and we'll figure it out.
See ya.
Right?
We don't. I mean, that was a classic volunteers, not hostages, because he was talking crap.
Mason Cole.
Bye. Couldn't snap the ball.
You couldn't snap the ball. You weren't very good. We don't have a real center on the roster. We'll get rid of you, and then they didn't find replacements for either guy in free agency.
Well, you said you're hung up on that, and I am too, specifically the second one.
But the last one I was going to get to is the Diontae Johnson trade. I mean, yeah, they filled one hole, you could say, in that trade, but it's not the one that they jettisoned. I mean, they signed Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins. Those guys can't be your number two wide receiver. I'm sorry. Not in 2024. This is not the 1970s anymore.
But in the 1970s, they had Swan and Stallworth.
Yeah, good
so
point.
Even that one doesn't work.
Yeah.
Of those three, though, like you named a tackle, a center, and a wide receiver who got told to peace out. And I know they would tell you that, well, when we got rid of Diontae, we added a corner. But I don't want to humor that right now. I have no idea if he's even close to good or if it's just smoke from them. I would have filled the center position there. I still think not getting more, so not really seriously trying to bring in more.
Well, they brought him in here, so they were semi-serious. They weren't an unserious football team, as the kids like to say.
I know, but they needed to fill that
Twitter.
One because I think if you have one of those three spots filled, it makes you a lot more light on your feet in this draft. Like you're not able to be telegraphed or you know put in a box. Here's what I mean by that. I looked at two mocks first thing when I got up this morning and I had some time. One of them had the Steelers. Trading from 51 to 34 to make sure they got a center, Frazier. It was after they took, it was the PFF mock, I believe. They had Fautanu at 20, mm-hmm. then Frazier, but they had to give up picks 90 or 84 and 119 to get that far up. And then the other one, I saw them trading up with pick 84 or whatever, just to move up four spots to get J.C. Latham. So it's like, and I might have like flipped those. That was Jordan Reed on ESPN. When you have defined needs and there is a perceived limited supply, especially at center specifically, I do think it kind of hamstrings your ability to operate in the way you maybe prefer to operate.
We do have clips from these guys on the trading down and even trading up questions, and I think they gave clues or little. You could read between the lines on some of these answers, I think, and derive really where they're leaning or what they're thinking with both of those ideas. I think ideally, just to give you again, like more of a big picture look at where we are as we enter draft week. When I think of Kevin Colbert as the GM and where they would like to be positioned going into these drafts, mm-hmm. they would have had a lot of these holes filled, even if they were with, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Like, I don't think he would have cut Cole. I don't think he would have done that.
You would have said, I want to at least have like a replacement level or sub-replacement level player there that I know.
I think they would have maybe at one or two other positions kept guys like that around. And I think he would be more interested in doing something like, where do I find the guy that's eventually going to replace Hayward?
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader. watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And that guy would sit behind Hayward for a year, or he would get used as a rotational defensive lineman, and then next year he would be their starter. Like, that's the old Steelers way of doing things. Drafting, yes, it's a need, but it's not a pressing need where the guy has to go in there and play immediately.
That fits more Kevin's constant, and we all, I think, knew that this wasn't the case. And even like the tenured beat writers who sometimes would shoot, you know, tisk us, even agreed with this. That was a situation where they could say, oh, we're drafting best player available, because Kevin loved to say that, but they really weren't. They were still trying to fill a need, just the need they wanted. Like Kevin was obsessed with best player available as a talking point, at least.
But instead what they had to do was they had to fix their quarterback situation this offseason, and it wasn't expensive or anything like that, but that's where their attention went.
Mm-hmm.
And they made one massive move in free agency, and that was Queen. And they feel like they got him at a good price.
They did.
And so there's a lot of sizzle to what the Steelers have done to get in position for this draft. But all that being said, all the praise, all the compliments, all the like very positive things that have been written and said about them, you still have a very incomplete roster, man. And I'm really interested to see how they prioritize those things starting on Thursday night.
Here's a thought I had with that roster priorities. So we agree holes are still tackle, center, wide receiver, corner.
Yep.
Agreement?
And I think you could even look at defensive line.
You can.
And inside linebacker is...
perceived
areas where they want to get
in their minds,
dudes,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they want to find, well, they do, especially D-line. You have Queen there, you have him there where he should be able to make whoever's next to him better. That's why you're paying him. I would, just if we're going off of what we agree are the need areas, I would expect them, and I don't think this will actually happen, but if they were going strictly according to like positional value and their needs, wouldn't you think they would address center last of those first four that I gave you? Because tackles are more important than centers. Wide receivers are more important than centers, and corners, I think, are more important.
But they're the organization of the center.
Are they?
They're the franchise of centers.
Is Omar the GM of the center? Kevin came into a situation where he knew how important that position
was. Tomlin was one of the guys that wanted Pouncey and drafted Pouncey.
Loved Pouncey, probably the football player and like the leader, but is Omar? Is it? Here's where I think they are getting, like, if you call it a three-man brain trust, it's Omar, it's Andy, it's Mike.
Andy comes from Philly where they had Jason Kelce.
Exactly. So there's a two-thirds majority there that probably does value the position, even if Omar says, ah, come on, guys, let's throw Nate Herbig in there. We'll be fine. We're paying him $4 million or whatever.
Well, the average salaries would say that offensive tackle versus wide receiver is really the debate. And cornerback is rapidly approaching those two.
Hot on the heels here, man. Like, I think... wide receiver becomes a bigger need for them, I would think, just because they literally don't. I mean, I guess, do you consider Jackson more credible as a guy who can step in and play corner for you than any other wide receivers being the number two?
Yes, I do.
Barely.
I think that Jackson is better at his position than Van Jefferson is at his.
Fair. If you were doing this by positional value, the way they would ascribe it, I would think they'd go like tackle, wide receiver, corner, and then pick 98. Come on down, Cedric Van Brandt Ranger.
All right, so let's dive into Omar Khan's clues next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.